Imagine sharing an office with me, Ben, typing emails. Dear Fred, blah, 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 tap, 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 tap. Well, I guess that's just one annoying habit, then, eh?
Your spontaneity, all those lovely, creative and positive and really wonderful qualities, you could link to ADHD in some ways. But
I was just about to say, and let's just end the podcast there.
Yeah.
I'm not a finisher of some things, am I, Ben?
I don't think you get the joy out of that aspect of it, no.
Oh, that's well put. I like that.
I'm on my best behaviour today.
So that's different.
Ben's face is a picture.
Yes, he's just shaking his head. Oh.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Nikki. Good to see you. And hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us. As a slight change, we've got a guest with us this afternoon, and I'd like to introduce my husband, Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you so much for coming along. And we just thought it might be, well, Nikki and I thought it might be interesting just to have a slightly different perspective, especially as you are an integral part of some of the episodes that we've done recently.
Hi, Ben.
Hi. Hi, Nikki. Yeah, I wouldn't say I feel part of it, but I feel mentioned on several occasions. And I want to start by just saying how much I've enjoyed it.
Aww.
I've listened to quite a few episodes so far, and I found it interesting, enlightening, and quite amusing as well. And it's shed light on some things that I wasn't really aware of as well, which is brilliant.
So what sort of things would you say you've learnt from listening?
I don't know. I think a lot of it has been to do with both of your subject knowledge, where you've sort of put the meat on the bone around the actual ADHD itself, and just the way you two deal with day-to-day life and the challenges that you come up against, which I just see with you, Carrie, is just you being you on a daily basis. But of course, within that, there are challenges.
Well,
Ben, do you think you've learnt more about Carrie as a result of listening to them?
I wouldn't say I've necessarily learnt more about her, in that I think I know her reasonably well. But what I think it's given me more understanding of how and why she does things in the way she does. So I guess so, yeah.
Diplomatic.
That was really politely.
I've learnt to be a political.
So, Carrie, you were saying that the thing that prompted wondering if Ben would like to come on was the holiday one. And you were saying that you had a chat about it after that and you wish you'd recorded it. And here we are now. So is that something you wanted to explore?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I think it was when we got back, if you haven't listened to the episode about holidays, Nikki and I shared about holidays and our recent experiences. And I just got back from a family holiday in Tenerife, and Ben listened to it and said to me, well, you know, that was quite interesting. And we had a long conversation about that. Ben, do you want to share some of the things that you reflected back to me after listening to it?
Yeah, well, once I'd got over the I'm never, ever doing this again, at the end of it, I was thinking I'm going to go on holiday on my own from now on. But I think one of the things that came out was that it's really important to share beforehand and during how we want it to go. And I really, your discussion around that holiday regarding how you might do it better going forward, or how you might change things, particularly with regard to putting something in place on a daily basis to enable you to find it easier and more enjoyable, was very interesting. That was a holiday of one type. We've actually since come back from another holiday, haven't we, Carrie?
Yeah, so we've just got back from a travel holiday. We started off, we went to Berlin, and then we got a train up to Krakow and went to and spent some time in Poland. And it was very different, actually, wasn't it, Ben?
It was. And I, before we went, having been on holidays like that with you before, I was feeling more comfortable about it, primarily because things were in place. We were going to be busy. We were going to be doing stuff. But also, although I do love a week by a pool with a book and very little interruption, I actually also really enjoy those kind of busy holidays where we get out and do stuff. And you don't go to Berlin and Krakow without wanting to get out and investigate all the amazing history to be discovered there. So I knew it was going to be not a great deal of downtime, so not those opportunities for us to drive a wedge, potentially.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think all the things that we talked about before of that, you know, Nikki, if you remember, we talked about having some scaffolding on the at least the first story of your house so that you have some things to do. That worked really well on this last holiday. So every single day, the night before, we planned out what we were going to do the next day, so that if it meant an early start, that was fine. We could have some downtime. And actually, I know when we were talking about the beach holiday and I felt very dysregulated because it was too slow, but actually I do need that regulating time just if I'm really busy as well. So I think it worked well that we went out and we did things, but then we also had that time at home to just chill and read books and have a bit of down. So it sort of appealed. Everybody was happy, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say we've struck a really good balance, and I agree with you. I think when you go on a really full-on holiday involving lots of trips out and going to see things, you need to have that downtime integrated just to bring yourself back and to relax and be ready for the next one.
And I think that busyness for me, well, we introduced, my youngest son came along and we introduced him to the word mooching, just being able to sort of mooch around. He's like, what do you mean mooching? It's like, well, you know, you get up and you go for a mooch and you stop and have a coffee and then you mooch a bit more. And I'm quite happy doing that. It doesn't have to be, you know, a full itinerary, but it's not that inertia.
I find a really good place for mooching is Venice.
Oh, right.
Venice is the capital of mooching, as far as I've been there three times. And I wasn't sure about going back the second couple of times. But actually, aside from the lack of greenery in the place, it's great because there's all these little wiggly streets and goodness knows what going on around the corner. And you have no idea where you're going.
Yeah.
And you just sort of wander and eventually you end up back where you started by some weird process.
Yeah.
Especially in my case, no idea where I'm going. It was good going with my wife because she's very good at this, as we mentioned before. And you just kind of just go out of the front door of your hotel or whatever and then at some point, a few hours later, you end up back there and it's a wiggly journey.
Yeah, I agree. And cities are great for that. But you raised something there about sense of direction. Now,
oh, my goodness.
Do tell, Ben.
Oh, my. Barney and I were jaws dropped and were wide-eyed. And
well, in appreciation of Carrie's amazing sense of direction.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose we all have our strengths, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, let's be gentle. But we could have come out of the hotel, walked 15 paces to a cafe, sat down, had a cup of tea, cup of coffee, whatever, come out, and Carrie would have walked out of the cafe and walked completely the wrong way to go back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got the sleep shirt hanging in my wardrobe, same t-shirt.
It really was. I just don't have a clue. I have no.
Yes, but doesn't it help you find new and exciting places to go?
Yeah. Well, it would do if she was on her own, definitely. But fortunately, we had a sort of metaphorical lead on her.
Yes, but you see, you get to feel useful, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that really brought it home. I mean, I guess I knew that I didn't have a very good sense of direction.
We talked about it in the last podcast.
So is that an ADHD thing?
Well, it seems to be on a straw poll of two.
Okay.
Please let us know on Instagram whether you agree that this is something you have going on. I was going to say suffer from, but rejoice in this ability to find new and exciting places that you didn't know you were going to.
Yeah, it was very, very noticeable. And I mean, I've always known I haven't had a good sense of direction, but I know if I have to find my way back to something, I have to keep turning round and concentrating on visually memorising it. So I don't know, is it we inherently have a bad sense of direction, or am I just too busy thinking about a million one other things and the whole where I am doesn't pay any attention?
this distraction, I don't think, given how visual I am as a person, I'm amazed that I'm not visual when it comes to remembering where I'm going.
Yeah, that's true.
Have I told you my Oxford Street story?
No.
So years ago, I was going to a meeting and it was near Oxford Street somewhere. And I wanted to go and buy a denim jacket. This is about 35 years ago. And I came out of, I can't remember. Was it Oxford Street? Oxford Circus? I can't remember. I came out and I went along Oxford Street and I needed to get to the next one along, whatever it was, Tottenham Court Road or something. And so I thought, right, that's fine. So I went into a shop at one point, found the perfect jacket, was feeling really chuffed with myself. And then I was a little bit late, but not too late. I could still catch up with the time, that's fine. So I walked and after about 5-10 minutes, I realised I'd forgotten I crossed the road to get to the shop. So I'd gone out the wrong way. This will be resonating with both of you from different points of view. And so then not only did I have to do what actually was the distance that I needed to cover in the first place, but I also then had to do the distance I'd just covered plus the time that I'd used up going in the wrong direction. And I had to sprint. So I arrived at said meeting really sweaty and red in the face and full of apologies. I think I got there by the usual skin of teeth and seat of pants.
Yes.
And it was one of those things that I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. So I think I probably did both. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was really notable. When we went to Krakow, there's a big, big square. And apparently it's the largest square in Europe. It's beautiful. But I mean, it is a square.
Oh, God.
With four sides.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's it.
Oh, dear.
And the first evening we got up there and we said, well, let's go and walk around the square to see if we can find somewhere nice to eat. And we started sort of walking around and eventually we found somewhere. And when we came out, I obviously headed off in completely the wrong direction. And Ben was like, how can you get lost in a square? There's literally four sides and we came in at one corner. Anyway.
Yeah, but there's 50% opportunity.
The next day we walked back to the square and I said, is that the restaurant we went into last night? And Ben just looked at me and it was sort of this horror and was like, not only is it on the wrong, you know, it's on the wrong side, it's on the wrong direction that we walked. Like, how can you not notice this?
Yeah, let's not be under any illusion. There is immense amount of entertainment to be had by witnessing this kind of behaviour. I'd consider it one of Carrie's sweet, charming and endearing qualities, actually. And I wonder whether, Karen, if you are with other people, you don't feel that you need to concentrate very hard and so you let them do the navigation for you or not?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. If I'm on my own, it's like I said, if I'm on my own, I would have made a mental note all the way along of sort of, oh, I'm going on side one, side two. I would have looked back at where I walked into the square and sort of taken a mental snapshot of it.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I do think actually it might be an ADHD thing because the two things going on, there's distractibility, which we know we're really good at, distractibility, distraction, because you're with other people. But also there's that sense of connection with other people.
Well,
so I think you're right, Ben. I think there is a handing over the reins, as it were. I do call my wife my guide dog in the nicest possible way.
Yeah.
And also there's that sense of connection. So when you're connected, as Carrie said in the past, that she gets excited about conversations and things. And when you're collaborating with other people and going around a new city or something, it's especially, I mean, your local town is one thing, but you're a new city or somewhere, you know, oh, full of exciting stimulation and all sorts of things going on, then it's so easy to get distracted. So I do think it might be an ADHD thing.
Yeah, I think it takes me back to when I used to take my kids when they were young up to London and they had absolutely no idea where we were going and how to get there, but they didn't need to because they knew that they were with me.
Well, exactly. So you're the grown-up in this instance.
And of course, Carrie, there is always Google Maps who are on your Christmas card list, I would imagine.
Oh, gosh. Well, I think I've said on this podcast before, Google Maps for me is the greatest invention ever. And I genuinely mean that because, well, not only because it saves me with my sense of direction, but I have Well, as Ben knows, a huge anxiety about travel and getting lost. It's not travel per se, it's getting lost. It's a real panic of mine, and we've worked really hard on that. In fact, when we went to Italy last summer and we had to hire a car and we do all these things, and I tend to be the person, well, we book a lot of it together, but I tend to get a lot of the paperwork and things at the last minute together. And I think there's a lot of issues there. Although I am an efficient person and I know I can do these things, there is still a residual, oh God, I will have messed something up here, because that's my pattern in life of having clicked the wrong button, booked the wrong thing. You know, we've been out for meals, haven't we, Ben, when we're a day early or late for the booking that I've made. You know, the table's tomorrow, madam,
sure.
And things. So that's a regular occurrence with me. So I think there's anxiety with that. But then this anxiety of getting lost is enormous. And Ben just does not have that at all. We go on holiday and he will just go, oh, I wonder what's down this road, and just drive off or explore. And I get really quite panicky about it. So Google Maps has been a real, really massive help.
Do you get panicky even if you're with Ben?
Less so. If I was on my own. So a friend of mine was recently, she went to Berlin on her own. And I said to Ben, that's like my ultimate challenge. That would be the hardest thing you could ask me to do, to get on a plane on my own, go somewhere, find a way to the airport. That would be huge. So on my own, that would be really hard. But I am going to do it one day because I like to push myself. So I'm better when I'm with Ben. But there is still this thing around getting lost. But I've been doing a lot of work on that sort of breath work, keeping calm, the sort of somatic exercises. But last year when we went to Italy, I said to Ben, I'm really working on my panic. And if you see me getting panic, you'll notice it, because I became aware that I speed up. I start flapping. I literally start flapping a bit and I tap myself. And I said, if you see me doing that, I need you to sort of almost get hold of my hands and say to me, look at me, it's okay, just breathe. Because it gets me back into the moment, whereas I think I get out of the moment and that's when all the panic comes in. So it is something we've worked hard on with that. But, and I mean, that's a serious aside to the sort of jokey bit about Google Maps being brilliant.
How's that going, Ben?
Well, it's a two-way thing. Let's not forget, you know, I have responsibility in this, and I don't always get it right by any stretch. There are times when things frustrate me, but I think I do try and reassure Carrie. I mean, when I'm driving a 7-meter camper van down a thinner street in France, then perhaps you're quite right to panic, Carrie, actually. But I think I've just noticed with Carrie over the years that there's lots of techniques that she's put together. So she's talked about the chaos and the difficulties and the challenges, but she's become such a productive and competent person because she manages that so well. So a lot of it, I feel, she's very capable.
Yeah.
I don't think she portrays as anything other than a really highly competent person. You wouldn't look at her and see a stamp on her forehead or anything like that.
Okay.
But there are, having listened to this podcast a lot, there are things that you do, and I know that there is not one size fits all for ADHD, but you do see things that do fall under that banner. And I also see the strategies that Carrie uses. One of the things she does when she's trying to do something that is potentially quite a complicated task is she talks it.
Yeah.
So she talks through every single aspect of it. So it might be transferring money, or it might be buying something, or it might be booking something. And she will talk through the process of what she's doing on the device, which can be quite irritating if you're watching telly. But I try not to interrupt her because I know it's what she needs to do to achieve it.
What do you mean, I talk to you about it before or while I'm doing it?
No, while you're doing it. You might not even know this, Carrie. It might be something subliminal. But you might say, OK, so phone this number, right? 09746 da 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 da. Option one, right? OK, I need to go into this. right? So dropped out, you know, you'll go through, you'll talk through the whole process.
What, while I'm doing it?
Yeah, while you're doing it.
Oh.
This is really interesting because this is one of the, if you like, acknowledged ways for ADHDers to deal with the things that we find challenging is to get it out of our heads, because we ruminate, we go around in circles and it doesn't feel real or it doesn't make sense or whatever, and we're under the mountain of the chaos. And if you talk it out loud, almost in the third person, as you just said, right, Carrie, or right, Nikki, right, Nick, right, come on, let's sort this out. I've actually seen Carrie doing this at Chorus. I've seen her when I've gone over to talk to her and she said, oh, hold on a minute, I'm just doing that. And then she'll just say what she's doing on her phone out loud. And that's partly so I know what's going on as somebody who's a bystander who's waiting to talk to her. But also it is incredibly helpful to actually verbalise the stuff. And I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I heard somewhere, God knows where, some reliable source that parts of your brain light up when you speak that aren't to do with speech. That other parts of your brain get engaged when you verbalise that don't when it's just going around in your head. And as I say, they're not the speech parts. They're other parts. You will think your frontal cortex and so on. And because our frontal cortex is not necessarily linked to our emotional centre as neurotypicals would be, it helps link everything up.
Ooh.
And so it sort of reduces the chaos, but it also helps the positive side of it in terms of helping you process.
That's really interesting. I didn't know that.
Carrie, were you even aware you do this at times?
I think you've said to me, and I know when I used to share an office with someone, she was like, my God, you do everything out loud. But imagine sharing an office with me, Ben, typing emails. Dear Fred, blah, 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 tap, 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 tap. Yeah, I do. Actually, I do a lot of things out loud. I find it really difficult to internally organise anything. I cannot. I have no internal organisation at all. So like when I watch you, Ben, you'll be doing some really complicated booking for something on your phone silently. I could not do that. I have to have it on the computer so I can see it and I can go, right, date, going, click. And yes, you're right. I do say it out loud and it is subconscious, but now you say it, yeah, I couldn't do that internally at all. Well, I guess that's just one annoying habit then, eh?
What of an array.
Well, I think going all the way back to when we met and got together, you know, I think some of the qualities that drew me to you and the things that I really fell for, you could identify as falling within your ADHD, you know, your energy, your enthusiasm, your ideas, your spontaneity, all those lovely creative and positive and really wonderful qualities, you could link to ADHD in some ways. But there are flip sides, I suppose, to those as well. I'll give an example, if I may.
I was just about to say, and let's just end the podcast there.
Yeah. Right, that's the first bit. And then it's now but. So a couple of years ago, nearly 4 years ago, I decided I'd like to get involved in gardening, vegetable gardening specifically. And we applied for a place in allotment, of course, because it was lockdown. Everyone not only bought dogs that year, but they also tried to get allotments. We ended up only getting one 2 years ago. And we went to go and have a look at it. And the one that they had reserved for us was like walking into a jungle. It was absolutely horrendous. It was completely overgrown. The polytunnel was floor to ceiling weeds. Everything was absolutely mad. I mean, it probably wasn't as bad as it looked on reflection, but at the time it was like, oh my goodness, no. Carrie bounced around for half an hour saying, well, just look at this. This might not look anything now, but look at the opportunities. Look at the fantastic. This will be us, Ben. This is going to be us. We'll work together as a team. We can do this. We can clear this. We can make this our own. Can you imagine every summer's night up there with a cup of tea, looking at the fruit of our labours? It's going to be magnificent. Selling, selling, selling. But genuinely, incredibly enthused. So I said, all right then, reluctantly. And then I mean, I'm about to exaggerate, so forgive me. And then I didn't see Carrie again up there for about 6 months. And I did all the work.
Yeah, there's a thing known as a plant, which is somebody who, in terms of typing people in business, and there's completer, finisher and all sorts of things. And there's the plant who's, I give you Boris Johnson, not that you want him.
Ooh, don't ever give me Boris Johnson.
No, he's a great initiator, a plant who starts things and then other people take over. There you go. Having said that, I'm going to give you a compliment again, Carrie. Brace yourself. The way you're dealing with the organising us in the chorus, your events, aren't you? Events coordinator?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So this is, goes back to what Ben was saying, which is, I wonder if you're running an old programme about yourself. So your fear of getting lost and so on. I don't think you do. I think you've got all your scaffolding, as we talked about the half scaffolding on holiday.
Yeah.
You've got all these things, and it doesn't mean that you... A bit like me. It's not like we never hit these challenges anymore, but we hit them less often and they have less impact generally, apart from the odd notable exception. And I just wonder if, I think that's why, one of the many reasons it's great to have Ben on today, because he can feed some perspective back. And it's not just about us, it's about the other people who are listening.
Yeah.
Who may not have revisited where they are now. They might be still running their old views of themselves without actually stopping and thinking about it.
Well, I think that's it, yeah. I think it's, you know, thank you for saying that. And I think it's very true. I mean, what Ben said, I mean, he has picked up on the fact that I'm not a finisher of some things, am I, Ben?
I don't think you get the joy out of that aspect of it, no.
Oh, that's well put. I like that.
I'm on my best behaviour today.
You're doing very well.
Yeah. I can see Ben laughing now. He's shaking his head. But yeah, I'll start things and then I'll disappear off and he will end up finishing. But we, you know, we're a good team like that, because I think it is about teamwork. And I don't want to make out that we're some sort of golden couple, but, you know, obviously we have our challenges as well. But I think it's learning to work with your partner on their differences. For example, with the allotment. No, absolutely. I was so enthusiastic. And Ben has completely and utterly taken it on and done it himself. And then I just say, well, tell me what to do and I'll go down and do things. And I do muck in when he invites me to. But that became a conversation, because he sort of said to me, you know, you were the one who wanted to do this. And then you just literally left me to do all the work. And I was truly surprised and sort of like, oh, I thought you were really enjoying it. He's like, I'm quite overwhelmed. It takes a lot of work. And I said to him, it just doesn't come on my radar, because I have so many other things that I do on my radar. But I said, if you said to me, I need you to come down and do 3 mornings or 3 sessions of work to do these specific things, I will put those in my diary and I will do them. And he was like, right, okay, so that's how we work now on it. But you probably wouldn't have started the allotment. You would have gone, oh, it's too much. And think of all the joy you get out of it. So it's sort of that, you know, so I was right all along, I think, is the takeaway from this.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. I think that is true, because I am quite, I wouldn't say cautious, but I'm a little bit on the pessimistic side of life. So I tend to say, oh, let's not bother. Whereas you have the real enthusiasm to generate that excitement about something that gets me over the line and gets me into doing things. I am quite methodical, but I also realise that there are some things that you will start, and so I just go and finish them. And that's how it works within our team. And I'm not resentful about that at all. It's just how our little team works. I think going very quickly back to all the stuff you've done for the chorus, Carrie, and it has been brilliant what you've done. And I think some of it you find hard and perhaps not as exciting, but you are committed to that and you are very competent at doing that. But on the flip side, me as your husband, I live it. So I live your project. So I will know everything that's going on with that project.
Not least because she says it out loud all the time.
Well, yeah. And she wants to talk about it because she's very communicative and she wants to share. And I won't go into details, don't worry. things that she's finding challenging or hard to work on, and some things that are going well. But we do tend to live it. Carrie's a very verbal person, and the amount of times 6 a.m. I've looked up and she's standing there fully dressed, fully showered, ready to go, and she says those dreaded words, "Ben, I've been thinking." At which point, well, I say, "And I've been sleeping." But that's her energy, and that's her. That's what I love. You know, that is what I love, and that is, it's nothing like me. And we're very, very different people, but it seems to work because I think we appreciate how different we are, and we try and show respect and understanding, and at times patience for that.
I love that. I think, sorry, I keep saying sorry because I don't want to butt in. The thing that I was laughing at there was recognition, because I think those words, "I've been thinking," strike fear into the hearts of all partners of ADHD, unless they're ADHD as well.
Do you say that as well, Nikki?
Oh, God, yes. And usually it involves a builder or a new window. My window man, Craig, my lovely window man who puts windows in my house for me, he's put in about, well, he's changed all the windows because they had those sort of plastic bars on them to start with, and I felt like I was in prison. So we got rid of those Georgian bars. So all the window panes in the house were replaced. And then there are now 4 or 5 new windows in the house that weren't here. They were walls. And he came around one day and he said, I said, "Craig, can you pop round?" He thought there'd be some handle that needed replacing. And I said, "I want a window there." And he looked at me and he said, "What are you like?" And I said, "I like lights and it'll be better." And he went, and I said, "Craig, you're the window man. You're supposed to want to put windows in. That's what you do." And he said, So when it was all done and lovely, and actually there was sun in the living room that wasn't there before in the afternoons, yeah. And it made the room bigger because that little 6 inches of rebate around the window actually made the room feel bigger and all sorts of lovely things apart from the light. And he stood there and he went, "Oh, yeah." So this enthusiasm that we have and this getting carried away and these ideas. And I said to my wife after she moved in, and it was those immortal words. I was standing looking at the hall one day and it was quite dark. And she came downstairs and I said, "I've been thinking." She looked at me and went, "What?"
I think that's one of the things that Ben has said is almost the most, well, we'll come on to the most frustrating thing. But the one of the sort of probably the second most frustrating thing is that, you know, he said, "Oh, God, you never just settle."
Oh, yes, you said that, I think, in episode one.
Never stay still.
Stay still. You just don't stay still.
It's always like, what could we change? How could I improve? What could, and he finds that, well, I don't want to speak for you.
Before you do that, can I just allude to, and I don't know whether we want to go here, but can we just allude to what happened on Sunday? The marathon.
The marathon, yes.
That you weren't going to do in episode one. Well, you did it. You did it.
Yeah.
The ultimate, you know, the ultimate carry that in a way, you know, and never staying still. The ideas, and these ideas, you know, they are very often brilliant. They're great, you know, but it's just the never, ever stopping still. But I mean, I can quote, "I will never do a marathon," you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 18 months ago. And I've nearly got her saying, "I will never do another one," and I'm going to record it. But I haven't managed to snap it yet. But yeah, what about that?
Yeah.
Well, even for my interaction with you yesterday, I remember talking to my wife last night and say, "Oh, Carrie's absolutely shot today." And she said, "Yeah, I'm not surprised." I mean, sorry. And she said, "Do you think she'll do another one?" And I said, Oh, the jury's out. Mind you, it's a bit like childbirth. The pain seems to disappear in your mind, doesn't it?
Yeah, everyone said that about it. At the moment, I'm sort of like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I say that I have got an ultra run coming up in 4 weeks' time.
What?
So that's, yeah, I'm doing a 50K run.
What?
But that's more for fun, and that's off-road.
Oh, yeah, well, that's fun.
It's not a race. It's you get 10 hours to complete it and you walk the hills. So that's different.
Ben's face is a picture.
Yes. He's just shaking his head. Oh. But you're brilliant because you came along and you really support all of those things. But I wanted to get on to what the most frustrating, I mean, and this, we're all joking aside, this is probably the biggest source of conflict, if that's not too strong a word, in our relationship. And what would you say that is? And that's definitely something to do with my ADHD.
Well, I was better. I don't know. I don't know. I'm scared to say in case I get it wrong.
Oh, in case it's not the one I think of.
There's another one.
Yeah, say it and I'll tell you if I think it's the right one.
Inconsistency.
Yeah, yeah. Changing.
Yes.
Inconsistency, yeah, I would say so. Normally around discipline.
Parenting.
Parenting. When I say discipline, I don't mean corporal punishment or anything like that. I just mean...
rules.
I just mean consistency around, yeah, how we parent.
Is it boundaries or is it... what is it?
No, it's not boundaries. It's more about rules that we've agreed on. So Ben will really think things through. He's very measured and he's very thoughtful and he will come to a very considered, well-researched opinion about something and then make that decision. And I will go, yeah, I think that sounds a really good idea, right up until the next time it happens and I sort of think, I don't think that's a good idea in this instance, so I'm going to change it. So as an example, it could be something like, my son has to go to bed at 10:30, lights out, and we will agree that, for example, and we'll say yes, yes.
Yeah.
And then, like, that will work for a few days. And then a few days later, he will come to me and say something like, oh, I'm just in the middle of this, that, and the other. Can I just finish this and have another 10 minutes? And I'll go, yeah, sure. And Ben will be like, oh my God, we've literally just had a big conversation about it being 10:30. And I think we have different views on it. So my view on rules, and I was speaking to my oldest son, who also has ADHD, about this yesterday. And he said that his view of rules is similar to mine, that they are guides, a nominal approach to something that you think, yeah, that's probably the way to do it. So if I say the rule is 10:30 bed, I mean, generally as a rule, that's what we want to do. But there are always circumstances around that where it won't be that. And so I'm very happy to break those rules. And it's not saying that Ben's rigid. I mean, he's not the sort of person, if it's 10:31, he'll be jumping up and down. But I think I consistently move any rule that we've put in place and go, oh, no, but it's fine because this is happening. And I think he then feels like, I just don't know what's going on because as soon as we agree anything, you change it.
Well, at least you're consistently inconsistent.
I am definitely that. Definitely that. But it puts pressure. I think that's probably the hardest thing. Would you say, Ben?
Yeah, I think we come from not polar extremes, but I'm quite one way and I think you're quite the other. And there's an element with you of, oh yeah, rules are brilliant until I can't be bothered to follow them anymore. And I think that's applied to you a lot over your life. You know, things that interest you, you do until you're not interested anymore. So if having a consistent bedtime for my stepson, your son, is a good thing to introduce, that's great. But if after 2-3 weeks, it's sort of just because that person is quite good at bending it and pushing it and trying to ignore it, it feels to me it's too much effort and energy to worry about getting back to some rigidity. And so you just kind of go with it. And I find that frustrating, not deeply frustrating, but it's probably one of the areas we do differ on. Things like, you know, mobile phone use and whether he has it in his room and those kind of things. I think we come from a slightly different initial starting point and then it gets further and further apart when whatever we put in happens. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I don't stick to. And I see it. And I think in my professional career, actually, consistency was something I always found really difficult because there is a lot of discipline in your role as a deputy head, especially when you're in charge of behaviour. And I found it really difficult sometimes to stick to consequences of actions. You know, if somebody hits somebody else, there is a detention.
Well, I think...
But then the other...
Yeah, go on.
But then in a circumstance where this person's hit them because they've been really goaded, it galls me that to say, yes, well, you know how to have detention because they goaded you and you responded. And I had to really learn to find a way to deal with that, because my instinct was sort of like, yeah, they deserved it. I just wanted to punch them in the face too. But you can't do that. You have to be really rigid.
Yeah, and I think rigid is a word that you struggle with.
Oh, 100%.
And I think discipline and systems and doing things sequentially, you always struggle with. And in the end, it's like where you have a task that you've got to follow through that's quite difficult, quite challenging, normally involving technology. We all know where that's going to end, and it won't be well. And there's been situations where I've had a decision I want to make, or I've been making it with someone else, and it needs time. It needs to be carefully thought through and discussed and, well, on the one hand and on the other hand, and weighed up and everything. I don't think that sits well with Carrie. For instance, the colour of a car that you might buy, or some reasonably weighty decision. But there comes a point with Carrie where the patient's elastic band snaps and she's just said, oh, it doesn't matter, let's just choose one.
Well,
let's just go for that one. Sorry, I sounded a bit horrible the way I said that.
No, not at all. It's your truth. And I do think that's, again, something that many ADHDers struggle with.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have myself, and I still do. But I did notice the reason I was laughing earlier in recognition, and it's nothing against you, Carrie, you know, I think you're wonderful. It's that when we were trying to get this, or even this morning, you did ever so well this morning, or this afternoon, you did ever so well because we were having trouble connecting all the three microphones and getting it all working and all this, and you were using a different laptop so that Ben could use the one you normally do.
Yeah.
And your patience was admirable, because I know when we, in the early days of doing this, I had to walk a fine line because I could feel your patience running out with the technology. And to be honest, I feel it too. But because yours was even more palpable than mine, mine was kind of polarised in the other direction. So I became more patient than perhaps I would normally have been. So,
yeah, I hold my hands up to that. You have undoubtedly got this podcast up and running, because my whole interest in technology starts and ends at the very same space, more or less. It's just...
Oh, but hold on. You're using up a lot of your bandwidth on A, your radio show and preparing for that, and B, the stuff you do for the chorus. So I'm not doing those two things. I'm taking up the slack on the podcast. So we're both doing different things. And there comes a point where I nearly threw the computer out of the window the other day because I got it all ready to send to you so that you could listen to it on your dog walk the next morning and we could get it out on time. And because of a technical glitch, which actually wasn't really my fault, it's because they changed something. Oh, it may well have been, but it on the schedule it wasn't. I then had to spend another 4 hours going back and redoing stuff the next morning, and I couldn't get it to you. And I was steaming.
Yeah.
And I just went to bed. And then in the morning, I figured out a better way to do it. But it still took me about 3 or 4 hours the next morning. So, you know, technology and ADHD is not, they're not often good bedfellows, I have to say.
No.
There may be a lot of IT specialists out there who are ADHD, but I'd be quite surprised.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think it's been really good. Thank you, Ben, so much for coming along today.
I enjoyed it.
It's been really useful, hopefully, to listeners as well, because I know sometimes we have partners who have listened to the podcast and have said it's given them some insight. So they will probably identify with your struggle as well. And the bonuses of living with someone with ADHD.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it works both ways. I think it's about, a lot of it is about knowing and understanding, and it works both ways. Within a relationship, it's just knowing what the other person's like, however you may label that. And we work well together, my love.
Aww.
And also, it's so lovely to have you chatting together about it and owning your own stuff. And to see, how much you love each other. Go on, let's just say that. And it's a beautiful thing to see. And one of the things I love about doing this is I found out more about Carrie, I found out more about myself, and I found out more about you today.
Aww.
Oh, thanks, Nikki. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thank you.
Speak to you soon. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for joining us on our ADHD journey. If you can spare a sec, a review or ranking would be hugely appreciated by us. 5 stars would be marvellous, but whatever you think. Every single one really does help. As well as on your favourite app, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at theADHDConnection_podcast. So we hope to see you on there. Thanks again for listening, and bye for now.